The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you: love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning to everybody. And happy Feast of St. Matthias. This poor guy seems to be like the forgotten apostle. He's actually considered one of the 12, and that's what we just read in the first reading. And in my mind, I think the combination of the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel passage kind of shows the way that the church works. Not so much the church that you and I think of with, you know, Father so-and-so with the bad homilies, or I don't like this bishop, or why does the Pope do those things, and how come the church has scandals, and all the other problems that we have with the human element of the church. But the church as Christ himself conceived it and founded it, which is the mystical body of Christ, imbued with the Holy Spirit as the animating principle behind it. And the one means, the instrument that God uses to communicate all grace to us, every single drop of grace that any human being has ever received always passes through the mediation of the church as the mystical body of Christ. And the church consisting not only of, you know, again, church buildings, Saint so-and-so parish in whatever corner, but the church consisting of the entirety of all baptized Christians in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory of all times, that church. So what do we see happening here? First of all, the Acts of the Apostles kind of presents things, I would say, from our perspective. We see the early church, Peter and the other 10, praying, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, they realize Christ founded a church based on the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and one of them is missing. One of them abandoned his mission and committing suicide, gone. And Peter realized, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that that position needs to be filled. What do we see is, we see that the church, when it works the way it's supposed to work, is a church that is docile to God. They don't know the answers to all things, but when we are men and women who pray, when we are men and women who truly seek the will of God and are willing to try to do God's will, whether it's fun or not fun or hard or easy or whatever, when our really only desire as a church is, how can we do God's will? Knowing that God's will is ultimately going to come down to glorifying the Father and saving souls, but how can we be docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit? How can we do God's will? We will see that even if we don't understand necessarily the why or the how, we'll see that God talks to us as a church, and he inspired especially the magisterium. The apostles, if ever there was a magisterium, it was the 12 apostles. I mean, you can't get more magisterial than them. So they realized, and they prayed, and they asked God for his guidance so that God would be the one who chose. Now, on the other hand, we see the gospel, and this is kind of more from the divine perspective. How is it that God looks at things? Well, God, if you want to apply the words of the Last Supper, Jesus talking, you can apply these words to Jesus choosing St. Matthias. You are my friends if I do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. And they skip a line. It was not you who chose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. Whenever we see a vocation, a priest or a nun or a bishop or whatever, you may or may not like the person. You may or may not think that they're doing a great job. But if that is a vocation that has been affirmed and confirmed by the church, then behind the church's decision are the words, "It was not you who chose me, I chose you." Christ chooses those whom he wants. And in the everyday aspect of life, for all Catholics, the same is also true, frankly. If you're baptized, these words apply to you. It was not you who chose me. Even if you're a late convert in life and you think you went through this journey and I just discovered the church at the age of 35 and after this whole epic saga, could be true, and you may have done your part, but more importantly, behind everything else, it is always God who chooses us. So I think these two readings combine to give us a very beautiful kind of perspective on the way the church operates. You have us who, in the best of our moments, are trying to seek, what is God's will, Lord? Help inspire me. And you have Christ who gives the church his Holy Spirit and who lives in his church and inspires the church and gives us all the grace that we need, not only for ourselves to be saints, not only for us to be men and women of God, but to be able to be that instrument to convert the world. So I think whenever you celebrate one of the apostles, you know, today we got St. Matthias martyred for the faith. I don't remember how he was martyred. But whenever we celebrate one of the apostles, I think we can also really just celebrate the church as Christ's mystical body and myself as a chosen member of it. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.